Well, good morning. How is everybody doing today? Good. Cold. It is cold. I actually think it's colder now than when it was when I woke up. But that's okay. It's still going to be a good day. So today we're going to be finishing up our conversation on prayer. The last few weeks we've kind of been talking about prayer. Just to kind of recap, 2 weeks ago we started out talking really what prayer is. And really just kind of walked out what are some of the basics of prayer, how to pray. And simply stating out, it's a conversation, it's communicating with God at a very base level. And then last week we used the question, why didn't God answer my prayer? And we walked through different things that really matter to God when we pray, such as our motivation to pray. Why are we praying about what we're praying for? And then also a big one is our relationship with God. What is our relationship with God when we pray? What does that look like? And today we're going to be looking at instructions that Christ gave us in praying, and we're going to be looking at see five things that we should seek in prayer. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew 6. That's where we'll be at today, and unlike the last 2 weeks, we're going to be kind of staying in Matthew 6, so you don't have to be flipping back and forth. But, you know, as I said, prayer, it's communication with God, and it's one of the most important things and is very vital in having a relationship with God. If you go to any seminar about relationships, or you hear somebody speak about relationships, or you read a book, or if you've talked to somebody who's been in a relationship for a really long time, they talk about really there's one major thing, one major piece that has to be there that you have to continue to do for that relationship to last, and that is communication. You have to be continually talking, continually conversing, listening to each other, talking with each other. If my first date with Haley remained the same way that I communicated throughout, we wouldn't have a very strong relationship. And I've made the joke before, and I'm actually very serious in it. I probably only said 25 words on our first date. I'm not joking. So if that didn't change, we probably wouldn't be married. Unless she could read my mind, and then that would be awesome, but scary at the same time. But that's another story, or another conversation. But without communication, there is no real relationship, and this applies to our relationship with God. A communication allows both parties to really express what's going on. It allows them to share their feelings, their desires, their wants, their needs, the direction that they want to go, and their ideas. But in our relationship with God, we're kind of like a kid in a candy store at times. We want to go here, we want to go there, we want to go this direction, that direction. We don't know quite where we want to go. And God is saying, hey, I've got this path lined out. I got this direction that we can go, that I want you to go on, and I just need you to follow me. And for us to understand what that is, for us to follow God and listen to to go on that path that he has for us, we have to listen to him, which means we have to communicate with him. We have to be talking and understanding with him. So in Matthew 6, Jesus gave instructions on how to pray, how we should communicate with God. And so if you have, we're going to be in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And many of you have probably heard this before. It's known as the Lord's Prayer. It says, This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So Jesus is saying, this is how you should be praying. This is how you should do it. And this passage, it didn't just show us how to pray, but also things that we should be praying for. Things that we need to be seeking out when we pray. And in these five verses, there are five things that we can pull from it, five things that we should be seeking out when we pray, as we communicate with God. These are the things that we should be pursuing, the things that we should be asking for, and more importantly, the things we should be listening for. The first thing is we should seek God's presence with a worshipful heart. We should seek God's presence with a worshipful heart, pursuing after God in all that he is. God's glory, his majesty, his power, his peace, his holiness, his awesomeness, every attribute of God we need to be seeking out when we pray to him. Seeking the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, seeking all that God is in a heart of worship. See, verse 9, it gives us this indication of seeking God's presence. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed, the meaning of hallowed is holy or sacred. But it's saying, hallowed is your name. Your name is holy. There's other translations said, you know, of this verse that says, holy is your name, and that's what it is. Your name is not made holy. Your name will be holy. It's not that. It is your name is holy. It is synonymous. God's name is the essence, the being of holiness. They are the one and the same. Holiness is who God is. And here Jesus is saying we are to proclaim who God is in our prayers, and at the same time we are to seek who he is when we pray. We are to seek who God is. We are to seek that holiness. We are to seek his love because he is love. We are to seek his peace because he is peace. We are to seek the presence of God. The original Greek word for prayer is, I want to make sure I say this right because it's prosukomai. Prosukomai, and it's very close related to worship, which is proserkomai. So when you're translating, you have to look at these very close because one means prayer and one means worship, yet both of them at the very root come down to one aspect, one indication, one really word of what they both mean, and that means to prostrate oneself. It is a physical posture that we are to take. But then it's also an attitude that we are to have when we go before God. To prostrate means to bow down, to lay oneself out, to put oneself before. And the same idea of bowing before a king in reverence. We are to prostrate ourselves when we pray to God, putting ourselves at the foot of his throne, seeking out all that he is. Going before God, even at times laying on our face, seeking out his peace, his holiness, his love. All that God is, seeking his presence with an attitude and a heart of worshipfulness that is bowing down, laying all of ourselves out before him, saying, I am not worthy to be here, yet you allow me to do so. We are to seek God's presence with that attitude when we pray. And that's just in verse 9. So I'm going to keep moving on because I've got four more of these. And so the second thing we see in this passage is that we should seek God's priorities. Seek God's priorities over our own. We kind of talked about this a little bit last week in our motives, how we need to be seeking God's motives, his desires. And this follows right along with that. But it's something that we need to be constantly going after because so many times when we are praying, we end up changing it to our desires, the things that we want, the things that we think we need. And we begin to pray about those. God, give me this. God, I think this person needs this. And in verse 10 it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every time we pray, we need to be seeking God's will and seeking our obedience, asking for that obedience, that heart of obedience, to follow what that will is. Because on earth as it is in heaven, God commands the angels and they do it. There is no question. And that needs to be our attitude when we are seeking God's priorities. What is God's will for me in this moment? What do I need to be doing in this situation, God? Seeking out what you want, not what I want. If it happens to be the same, awesome. But if it's not, going after the thing that you want. And this is hard because it takes us out of the space that is comfortable. It takes us out of the position of where we want to be and puts us in the place where God wants us to be. And that can be difficult and that can be hard because sometimes it means talking to someone that we don't want to talk to. It means going to a place that we don't want to go to. It means doing something that we don't think we can do. But seeking His will, it requires stepping out in faith, taking the focus off of ourselves and on to Him. And that's hard because sometimes in our minds that means not focusing or not getting the things that we need. It means ignoring some of the stuff that we believe we need. And sometimes even means we think ignoring what we're responsible for. If I do what God is asking, how am I going to provide for myself? For my family? If I take this step and I talk to this person, is it going to ruin that relationship? And if it does, what's going to happen? If I go where He's asking me to go, will I get hurt? And if so, who's going to take care of me? What am I going to do? Maybe not physical hurt, but maybe an emotional hurt. If I go to this place that has been a root of pain for me, how will I get through it? If I give up this aspect of my life to follow God and do His will, what's going to happen to me? Seeking God's priorities over our own is hard, but God cares for us when we do. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now, this verse does not say, do what God asks and you will get what you want. This is not what it is saying. So many people want it to say that. It's not. No, it says when we seek after God's will, if we pursue after Him and the things that He wants, He will take care of the things that we need. He will take care of the things that we need. If you read the verses before this and the verses right after it, it never says about anything of our wants. It never says anything about our desires. It all talks about necessity. The things that we need. So when we pray, we need to be praying and seeking God's will, seeking His priorities and not our own. And when we do and we follow in obedience to what that will is, He will care for us. He will take care of those needs that we have. And that leads into this third thing that we need to seek when we pray, which is we should seek God's provision for our daily needs. Pursue after God's will, and He will take care of you. He will take care of your needs. And because He says He will, present them before Him. We know what our needs are. We know what our spiritual needs are. We know what our emotional needs are. We know our physical needs. Present them before God daily. Verse 11, give us today our daily bread. Daily sustenance, daily need. Give me what I need for today. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, today. Because the truth is, every day our needs change. Some days we need strength. Maybe it's to get through what happened from the day before. It was a bad day at work. Had a fight at home. And you're going into it going, I need strength to maybe have a conversation. I need strength just simply so that I don't pull my hair out from the frustration that I have. Give me the strength to take that step because I was afraid to the day before. Other days we need peace, calmness in our hearts for a situation we may be walking into at work, knowing there is going to be a tough conversation or you have to have a conversation with somebody. Peace for the chaos that may be going on around you, the things that are going on with family, with friends, the things that are outside of our control, but they afflict us anyways. Maybe in that day we need peace. And if you're brave enough to pray for it, patience. Because when you pray for patience, you're not given patience, you're given situations to make you patient. So if you're brave enough to pray for it. But every day seeking out that need, seeking out that provision for our needs. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. He will meet all of your needs. Again, the necessities. And the hard part about this one is because sometimes what we think we need isn't what God says we need. And that goes back to seeking after God's priorities above our own. But again, not our desires, not our wishes, because if it was, I would have been a billionaire by the time I was 9. Prayed for a lot of money when I was little. Hasn't happened yet. But he will meet our needs. He will give us the things that we need to get through the day. But we have to rely on him for that. We have to seek his provision through Christ and pray for it daily. Because when we do that, we become reliant on him and him alone. We don't become reliant on ourselves saying, I prayed and I got just enough, and then I got some more for myself. No, we pray and say, no, God gave this to me. God gave me the peace. God gave me the strength. God put me in the position to be patient so I could have patience. But so we become reliant on him and no one else or nothing else. We pray for that daily provision so that when people say, how do you make it through? We don't say, oh, this self-help book. We don't say, oh, this motivational speaker. We say, no, it's because of God. I daily go to him every single day asking for what I need, praying that he provides me with exactly what I need to get through the day, with exactly what I need to have those conversations, with exactly what I need. Then the fourth thing we should be going after in prayer is we should seek God's pardon for our sins, asking God to forgive us of the sins that we have committed by commission and omission. And what I mean by that is the sins that we have knowingly committed that we know go against what God has for us. and the sins that we have unknowingly committed. Something that we may have said that has harmed our testimony to someone. That they are now holding something against us. And there's no longer peace. Matthew 6:12, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. This is another one of those lines that can sting. Because when we ask God for forgiveness, we have to be forgiving others. Again, I know I talked about this last week, but this is so important, guys. This is so important because it's a part of repentance. And not forgiving in and of itself is a sin. Harboring that resentment, that hate in our heart is a sin. And so when we say, I cannot forgive that person, you're saying, I hate that person. I do not care enough about them that they should know Christ. Because if I expect God to forgive me, I have to forgive them. Because what I have done to Christ, what I've done to God is so much worse than whatever they've done to me. Because it was because of my sins that Christ had to hang on a cross. If we have hate in our hearts, then we do not have the love of Christ inside of us. But when we forgive and let go of that hate, we are able to be forgiven by God because of Christ. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, if we come clean and acknowledge our brokenness, how without Christ we are nothing. Without Christ we can have no freedom. Without Christ, we cannot be free from sin. When we acknowledge that and confess with our mouths, we are forgiven and purified. But we have to be willing to confess those sins, the ones that we know about, the ones that others know about, and the ones that are hard, the ones that we harbor in our heart. The lies, the addictions, the unfaithfulness, the unforgiveness. When we confess and let them go and give them over to God, we are purified and made clean because of Christ. We pray for God's pardon. And finally, we seek God's power to overcome temptation. When we are forgiven and let go of all of those things, given them to God, Satan's going to try and turn that around. He's going to come after us, and he's going to do anything he can to make that change. He's going to try and lead us away. He's going to be tempting us, telling us that what we've been doing was, in fact, okay. Whisper those lies, saying those things that you're saying that weren't true, they didn't hurt anybody. Those things that you have been addicted to, that you've placed in front of God, that's all right. They feel good. They make you feel powerful, like you're in control. It's all right. They're not bad for you. He'll tell us that the hate and the resentment is justified. That what they did to you was awful, and it's okay to hate them. It's okay that you don't want them to know Christ. It's okay to not forgive them because what they did hurt. Matthew 6:13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We must seek God's power to overcome what Satan is going to throw at us. The things that he's going to use to lure us away from God and the things he's going to use to trick us into turning against God. Those situations to say, where was God in this? Those situations where we see pain and hurt and he tries to twist it saying, why do you believe? Those situations in your own life where there's confusion and he tries to whisper even more chaos in by saying, God doesn't care. And he's going to try and trick you into turning away from God. And he's going to use all he can to separate us. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. We all experience temptation, every single one of us. None of us are alone in that. Even Christ himself was tempted. When he was in the wilderness for 40 days and he didn't eat a single thing, Satan came along and said, you've got the power, turn those bread into stone. You can do it. It's fine. He took him to the top of the temple and said, jump off, because scripture says God will protect you and he will send his angels to care over you. So test him. Take a leap. Let's see what happens. And then finally, he took them to the tallest peak and said, look at all these kingdoms. They can be yours. Just bow down before me. And you can have every single one of them. Christ himself was tempted just like we are. The thing is, Satan can't make us sin. No one can force us into doing something. We have a choice in the matter. Every single time. And every single time, God allows us to make the choice to follow him. Every single time, he gives us the choice to turn away from the sin. And we have to seek God in those moments. We have to seek God in those moments so that we have the power to resist. Because of who we are, because of our depraved nature as humans, having fallen in sin through Adam, eventually we will on our own. When we walk by ourselves, we may be able to resist once or twice, but on our own we will eventually fall into it. We need to seek God in those moments because he says when we seek him, he will provide a way out. He will give us the power to resist and turn away from Satan and to turn and see his glory so that we can overcome. Prayer is our communication with God. It's us listening and seeking him. Us going before the throne, laying ourselves down at his feet and seeking who he is, what he wants, and what he offers us. It allows us to commune with our Creator who wants to have a relationship with us. There's no other God that offers that. There's no other God who says, I have created all and I want to have a relationship with you. We may be able to talk and speak to God, but the awesome part is that he speaks back and that we are able to listen and hear what he has to say. And there is no other God who does that. There is no other God who says, I will speak back to you. And I will love you. And I want to have a relationship with you. We we get to do all of that through prayer. You pray with me. Heavenly Father, there truly are no human words that can express all that you are. Every attempt that we make is really feeble in comparison to who you are. And God, we come before you seeking you. Some of us are seeking the peace for the chaos that's happening in our lives. Some of us are seeking your love and your acceptance because we felt abandoned. Some of us are seeking your strength because of the difficult times that we're going through, God. God, I just ask that in each of our lives, the aspects, the attributes of who you are that you would fill us with your Spirit. So that we receive not just one of those attributes, God, but all of them. That you dwell inside of us. As we continue to seek you, that we would put aside our own selfish desires and be looking at yours. Even in those moments when it's difficult, those moments where we don't think that we can do it, God, that you come alongside of us and you say, no, you can. I'm asking you. That through it all, you'd reveal any areas of our life that we haven't given over to you, God. Ones that we know about and ones that we don't know. Revealing those areas so that we can become closer to you. We can hand them over and say, I am sorry. That I need forgiveness and I need to offer it. And that you can fill us with your power, your joy, your hope, and your strength to overcome. To overcome temptation, to overcome obstacles. At times to even overcome our own thinking, God. Heavenly Father, you are so amazing and beyond any comparison. We lay ourselves at your feet, not worthy, but so very thankful that you love us. In your name we pray.